Wow. So before we begin, I just gotta confess something 100% true about me. I get a big kick out of those videos from Pastor Sam. And you know, we have the church professional intro videos. We have them, we use them. But every now and then, I think it's really good for us to just be a little goofy, be a little silly. We can take God's word seriously and still have fun at church. It's completely possible. Amen? Amen. So let's go ahead and begin with our shout of I love God and I love you. So I love God and I love you.
I love God and I love you.
Thank you, church. So as Pastor Sam said, we did just finish an 8-part series on the book of Philippians, which I definitely enjoyed. I think it was one of the best series I think we've ever done here. I had a great time doing it with the youth. Maybe some of you guys are like me. I have a deep appreciation for line-by-line expository sermon teaching. And that's what we got to do in Philippians. But for this new series called Gone Fishing, don't know exactly what the exact title is, but maybe like me, you might be asking, well, what's this sermon series about? I have no idea, to be honest. I called up Pastor Sam earlier this week, and I was like, hey, Sam, what's the big idea? And he goes, yeah, to be honest, there's no overarching theme. It's just a bunch of cool teachings from Scripture that all have to deal with fish. And I'm like, that's great too. So if you're sitting here and you're joining us the next 3 or 4 weeks and you're the one who likes to connect the dots between like the sermons, come and see me because I would love to know what you came up with. And then come take my job because you are way smarter than me. That is our new series. And we're going to jump into probably, I think, the most popular, most famous of fishy stories. And that would be the story of Jonah and the big fish. And it's one of my favorite stories, usually for this number one reason. I think the story of Jonah, the teachings we find in Jonah is probably the most relatable character I find in the Bible. Okay, and because he's so relatable, I actually have a preference of teaching Jonah in a certain style of sermon that you may not be used to. We call them first-person sermons. Okay, so the youth group, absolutely knows what this is about. I only do it for them, but once a year. If you do it more than that, it just loses its novelty. They get bored, maybe. But what it is I'm going to tell you the story of Jonah as one of the characters in that story, okay? Now, it's not meant to be a gimmick, and it's not meant to be a trick. It's actually kind of smart if we think about it. Aren't we a culture that is visually stimulated? Yes, okay? Like, let's take a quick poll, right? Are you more likely to read a book or watch Netflix and YouTube? I don't know, right? It's pretty a landslide. See, we take narratives, and we love story. That God built that into us. We love story, but we love to watch it and see it, and you kind of feel it, not just read it. So what I want to do for you today is not just read to you God's word. I want you to see God's word come alive. I want you to see what Jonah went through. I want you to actually put yourself in Jonah's shoes, feel what this guy was going through, okay? So we will begin. My name is Jonah. Yes. Sorry, that fishy smell. Yeah, sorry, ever since I got swallowed by a fish, I can't seem to get this fishy smell off of me. I swear I did the laundry. It's just one of those things where I wish God never would have spoken to me. You know, have you ever sat there? Have you ever said to yourself, man, I just wish God would just physically talk to me? Have you ever felt like that? That God, man, if only God would just part the heavens and let me know what he wants me to do? No, I'm telling you, you don't want that. No, that's a big mistake, all right? Because what if God tells you something that you don't want to hear? What if God tells you to do something that you really don't want to do? That happened to me. One morning, I heard God's voice, and it was, wake up, Jonah, son of Amittai, wake up and go to the great city of Nineveh, for its evil has come up against me. He wanted me to go to Nineveh to warn them of a coming destruction. And I'm like, that is crazy. That is absurd. Never would I do that. I hate Nineveh. Nineveh, the capital city of the Assyrians, I hate the Assyrians. And I tell you what, you would hate them too if you knew what they were like. You know what the Assyrians did to my people? My cousins, my uncles, my aunts, they enslaved us. They exiled us. And that's if you were lucky. They would kill you. And not just kill you. Well, you know what they would do to your body? They would mutilate your body. They'd put your head on a pole just for fun. If that happened to your relatives, wouldn't you feel angry like me? Yeah, I bet you would. And God wants me to go and give them a heads up. Tell me, what kind of common sense war strategy says, yeah, go let your enemies know what time you plan on attacking? That makes no sense to me, God. So you know what I did? I ran the other way. I went down to Joppa. I got the first boat down to Tarshish. I went down into the boat. I paid my fare. I figure if I can just get away from God and get away from the problem, God will find somebody else. Just lay down in the boat. And I mean, if you can't see me, right? Or I can't see you, you can't see me. And that's why I thought it worked with God. And all of a sudden, the boat was rocking. And the captain was down. He was shaking me. He said, wake up, wake up. And call up against your God. Or call up to your God, sorry. And I was like, Captain, what's going on? The captain says, we're sinking, we're sinking. We're doing all the professional techniques that we know to do. We threw our precious cargo overboard, and we're still sinking. We need you to wake up and call out to your God, because maybe it's your God who might listen. Like, you want me to call out to my God? Do you know who I'm trying to avoid right now? The last person I want to call right now? That's what you want me to do? I mean, I go upstairs to the top of the boat to see what's going on, and sure enough, there's waves crashing all over. Oars are breaking, and I'm seeing these men frightened and panicked, and they're on their knees, and they're calling out to all the names of all their foreign gods, calling out for salvation to be saved from this storm. Now, I knew that that storm was no coincidence, right? I knew who was behind this storm, and I knew whose fault it was. But gosh, at least no one else knew whose fault it was. Until I saw them casting lots. And guess whose number came up? This guy. So of course they corner me, they put me on trial, and they say, who are you? And what's your business on this ship? And I said, oh man, I gotta come clean. I gotta tell these guys the truth, right? I said, My name is Jonah. I'm a Hebrew. Okay, and I serve Yahweh, the God of heaven, who created the dry land and the sea. The captain said, why would you do this to us? And then he said, what do we have to do to be saved? Tell us, how can we save our lives? And I told him plainly, salvation only comes from one place. Salvation only comes from the Lord. And I looked to the captain and I said, you got to throw me overboard. If you throw me overboard, the storm will stop. And the captain said, a human sacrifice? That's crazy. Your God asked for too much. We'll never do that. So they kept rowing and they rowed harder and they rowed harder, but the storm grew stronger and stronger till eventually they just came to their senses, fell on their knees, and you wouldn't imagine what I saw. These men on their knees crying out to Yahweh, Hosanna, Hosanna, which was my language for God, save us, save us. People who I would never have thought would have acknowledged Yahweh were asking for their lives to be saved. And then they turned to me, and they knew what we had to do. They helped me up to the front of the ship. And as I was about to jump, I looked, and I just looking at these men worship Yahweh. I said, what kind of God do you think God is? God is a God who shows mercy. And then I jumped. The waves were all over me. I couldn't swim. I kept sinking. I kept drowning. I kept choking on the water. The seaweed was wrapping around my head. And I knew this was it. This is the end for me. I saw the abyss. I saw the darkness. We call it Sheol. And this is a place where God banishes people from his presence forever. And I looked at the bars of those prison. And I said, I deserve this. This is my mistake. I deserve this. But have you ever made a mistake? Have you, sitting there, have you ever wished that someone would just give you a second chance? Maybe God will give me a second chance. I said, God, Hosanna, Hosanna, save me. Have mercy and forgive me. You know what God did? He rescued me. Now, every time I tell this story, you guys don't believe me. All right, I know fishing stories, you know, people lie a bit, okay? But I swear the fish was this big, okay? God sent this fish to swallow me and rescue me and take me to shore. What kind of God do you think God is? He is a God who's ready to forgive you, give you a second chance. And I washed up on the shore, and I hear the voice, that voice again. Jonah, wake up! This is God talking. I need you to go down to Nineveh and deliver the message I told you. And you know what I did this time? I listened this time. God must really care about Nineveh to go through all this trouble. So I walked myself over to Nineveh this time. Now, Nineveh's a big city. It's a great city. It takes about 3 whole days to walk through the whole city. Now, I show up there on the first day, and I deliver God's message. More or less. I might have paraphrased a little bit. But I show up, and I said, Nineveh, your days are numbered. In 40 days, you will be destroyed. Pretty simple sermon. Not super heartwarming, but it's to the point. Man, my job here is done. These people, they're so wicked and they're so evil. Man, God's going to just hand it to them. But then you know what I saw? The king of Nineveh issued a decree. And the king of Nineveh said to all people, everyone does a fast. Everyone does puts on sackcloth. Even the cattle were fasting. Okay, now fasting and sackcloth, you need to know, okay, are symbols and signs, okay, of grieving and mourning, but you know what they're also signs of? Humility and repentance. I thought, oh no. Oh no, they're calling out to God. They're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, save us. Crying out to Yahweh, the most unlikely people I ever would have thought, calling out for salvation. And I thought, oh no, my greatest fear might come true. What if God relents? Oh my God, what if God changes his mind? Oh my gosh. And then day 41 came. And on day 41, God relented. And he didn't destroy them. What kind of God lets people get away with this, with their evil, and he relents? Man, God is weak. And I think God is soft. You want to know what kind of God God is? God is not a God of justice. No, he doesn't love his people, or else he would not allow evil people to get away with this. So I said, God, you better kill me right now because you make no sense. Kill me. I like to be dramatic sometimes. And God just speaks to me. And he says, Jonah, I've turned away from my anger. Why can't you turn away from your anger? No, God. No response for God. You know what always works, right? The cold shoulder. I just gave God the cold shoulder. He'll come to his senses. Oh, he'll see. And sure enough, you know what? God grew me a plant. He grew me a plant on top of this big hill. And I think I know why, right? He wants me to have a nice little tent, a nice little place for shade, so I can watch all the spectacular action. I can watch this city just blow up. So I sat down, right? Got in my comfy seat. Didn't want to miss anything. And I'm sitting there, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. And you know what happens? Nothing. Nothing happens. Well, I wish I could say nothing happened. Something did happen. God did destroy something. He destroyed my plants. God, wake up. You're supposed to destroy the evil people, not my tent. God, you make no sense. What kind of God do you think God is? God is an inconsistent God. God doesn't use common sense. God lets evil people get away with stuff that they shouldn't get away with. God, you make no sense. Church, I want to ask just this question. What kind of God do you think God is? It's one of the main questions in this story. And I love that in this story, God's the one that gets the final word if you read the book. And God is the one that tells Jonah, I'm not the one who's inconsistent, and I'm not the one who's being absurd. He goes, Jonah, you care more about a plant than you do about a populated city. See, I think God has his agenda correct. And Jonah is just so blinded by his anger, he can't see. What kind of God do you think God is? God would say, I am the God who's completely sovereign. And God would say, I am completely free to show mercy and compassion and forgiveness to whoever I want, because salvation belongs to him. And I'm so glad it's in his hands and not ours. Go ahead and invite the band up, and I just want to share two quick things in conclusion. In stories and in narratives, did you know it's very important for you and I to find, where are you in this story? Let me ask that question again. Where are you in this story? And I'll tell you, all of us start out as Nineveh. Because haven't all of us have done something awful, something horrible, something less than good? And like Nineveh, we deserve hell. And we don't deserve a relationship with God. We definitely don't deserve heaven. But here's the good news. If Nineveh wasn't beyond saving, then you aren't either. If Nineveh was able to call out Hosanna, aren't you able to call out Hosanna? So while some of us start off as Nineveh, some of us are a lot like Jonah. See, some of you in this room, I know you guys have been hurt, you guys have been harmed, you guys have been betrayed. If you really have felt like deep hurt, then you know what anger really feels like, to be really angry at somebody. And you would say to yourself, that's the last person I would ever show compassion to. And maybe like Jonah, it would just be easier for you to just escape that person. Just go ahead and catch the next boat and avoid what God would have you do. But I'm telling you, I think the story is clear. God would have you show compassion on those who act evil against you. It was Jesus Christ himself who said to love your enemies. Church, I hope it doesn't take us being swallowed by a fish for you and I to realize that we need to show mercy because you have been shown mercy, that you need to show kindness because you have been shown kindness, and you need to give grace to others because haven't you been given great grace? Heavenly Father, Lord, your mercy doesn't make sense, and your grace, it breaks all kinds of rules that we know. Because we, a wicked and evil people, we don't deserve you. We definitely don't deserve your son. And yet you sent your son to live the life we should have lived, to die the death we should have died, to pay the penalty for our sins, so that we would be justified in front of the great judge, that we would be adopted as sons and daughters of the God Most High. The Holy Spirit would indwell us, live in us, and be with us until the day that we get ushered into your great and marvelous kingdom. Thank you for this ill-deserved love, this ill-deserved grace. Thank you for this kindness and mercy that you show to us. In Jesus' name.